Well, what are the benefits of trusting what he said? Because if God's word can't be trusted, if the words are not divinely sent from God through those 40 or so human authors, then we have lost everything. Because the Bible is so important, and Paul sums it up in Romans 10 and verse 17. Look what Paul says in the 17th verse. He says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You see, our salvation is inextricably linked to the Word of God. It's the Word of God that we hear that prompts faith within by the Spirit of God. That's why we have to be very careful. I'm working with some of the folks in the baptism team, and as they prepare for public water baptism, believers' baptism, I told them, I said, you know, your story is wonderful. But make sure you insert into the story how it is the Word of God that convicted you of your sin. The Word of God that assured you that Jesus died in your place. You see, what difference between us and religion is the Word of God. The living and abiding Word of God that, as Paul says in chapter 10, verse 17, brings us faith. Keep going to the right, to the book of James. It goes Romans, and then Corinthians and Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, go all the way through, and Hebrews, you know, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, and then James. That's a little one, and it's really tucked in there. It's only five chapters. But get to James, and look at chapter 1, verse 21, because James said salvation comes not just from hearing the Word of God. Paul says faith comes by hearing the Word of God. James says you hear the Word of God, and God supernaturally, in verse 21 of chapter 1, does something. It says that the Word of God becomes engrafted. You know what grafting is? When you graft plants, you cut them, you join them together, and you keep them bound together, and they grow together. There is a growing joint until it becomes completely inseparable. Well, look what James, how he puts it in James 1:21. He says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. And look at this. And humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Planted in you. Now, that's the difference between Jesus talked about the sower and the seed. And remember, some of the seed just sat on top of the ground. It just sat there. And the birds picked it off. James says, watch out that when you listen to the Bible, when you hear it preached, it isn't just sitting there. It's kind of like one of the many parts of your life. It's just over there, and you kind of pay attention to it when it's Bible time, church time, whatever. And it never gets, look back at verse 21, the word which has become implanted in you, which can save you. See how it goes in, it becomes engrafted, implanted in us. That is what God says. Humbly accept the word planted in you. Now, Peter, if you keep going, it goes James and then 1 Peter. Look at chapter 1, verse 23. Peter just builds on that. He nails down the vital place God's word has when he says in 1 Peter 1:23, and having been born again, not of corruptible seed, not just by anything, just by hearing, or I remember there was a famous guitarist who said that he was born again when he saw a shooting star. You know, he just saw that, he had an experience, and he called that his new birth, and he lived in Colorado, and he had his Rocky Mountain High. Did you know, there was never any mention that the Bible, that the divine God become man, dying in his place, bearing his sin, giving him a new heart. None of that. But he was born again. So he used the terminology without the reality. Look what Peter says. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, not of experience and not of somebody's wisdom or some wise words, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's the eternal benefit of trusting this book. Because this book is the Word of God that faith comes through. This book is the engrafted Word. This is the living and abiding Word of God that is incorruptible, that saves our soul. And all that we know and believe and confidently hold about God and His plan for our lives, for our world, for our marriages, for our families, for our futures, all are in this absolutely trustworthy Bible. That's what Jesus said. Assuredly, I say to you, you can trust this book. It's our goal that every day when we wake, we should wake thinking about God's Word. You know, that really was brought home to me. We memorized verses as a family, and we were working on one that was a little tricky. And I remember we did it at the meal, and then we didn't talk about it anymore. And then the day ended, and, you know, it's kind of fun. I still have little enough kids. It's fun to tuck them in and pray with them and everything. And when I came around early in the morning, it was still dark, and I was waking up one room of kids. I came in, and the first one, I gave him a little nudge, and I said, "It's time to wake up." He sat straight up in bed and said, "I know it." I said, "You know what? The verse." And he says, Matthew 16:18. And he just went just like that. And I thought, wow. You know, it's our goal that each of us wake to thinking about the Word. He sure did. Do you? Do you have the last thing at the end of your day be some promise from God so that your mind can spin through that all night long instead of maybe some, off-color humor or some scurrilous movie or some questionable game or some, you know what I mean? What is the last thing you think about? Because usually that's what your mind processes all night long. You know, our minds never rest. They just go. They work and they're sorting stuff and analyzing and we're thinking about it in the subconscious level. Did you know that's why David said at evening and at morning and at noon, I will think about your word. Remember the Hebrew people, their day starts at night. So does God's. God says the evening and the morning is the first day. God says your day began last night. And so if you really want to give God the first fruits, as you're going to sleep, have the last thing you think about be His Word. And then your mind processes that. So what's wonderful is to wake up thinking about that. Also, it's great to have a quiet moment in a hectic day and let our thoughts drift to God's Word. And when we finally get to unwind and relax, that restful time should involve a renewing dip into the life-giving waters of God's Word. This is the spiritual discipline of this book that we can trust. This is what God wants in our lives. He wants us going to the Word to start our day, turning to the Word to relax our minds when we're stressed, trusting His Word to encourage our hearts when troubled, inviting His Word to guide our lives when confused, and allowing His Word to assure us when we're struggling with doubt.